Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Acts 8, verses 26 through 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Candace says in the scripture she was queen of the Ethiopians. Only time that we hear her referenced in the Bible. Very interesting. Sort of curious. Who was this Candace? Her eunuch, who was in charge of her entire treasury, was there. And he was the one that Philip was talking to. But then this Candace obviously perhaps was someone who was maybe motivating, helping bring this about. At least incredibly curious as to what this new thing going on, this thing about Jesus Christ was. And so the Candace, we look at her and we wonder, well, the historians tell us that she wasn't exactly just queen, she was actually queen mother. Her son was on the throne, her son was king. And you say, oh, it must have been a child. Well, actually, in the culture of that time, the king was seen as so holy and righteous and so above the world that the king could not be bothered with affairs of state or any other sort of mundane business things. And so someone else ruled as he was holy and exalted and all this sort of stuff. So his mother, the queen mother, Queen Candace, she was the Candace, and she was the one to rule, to the nitty-gritty, get things done, everything else. And some of the women out there going, isn't that just always is the way it is? The guy gets all the honor, the woman does all the work. Yep, that's basically what it is. But she was the Candace. She was the one behind the throne getting everything done and ruling the country. And so we see her in that role, and we see her accomplishing all that work as the king's mother. And you go, well, you know, he worked for her, but what was the big deal? Well, he worked for her, and that was in the time of absolute authority. So he did what she said. And for some reason, she allowed the one who was over the treasury of the entire country, very close to her, she allowed him to go and worship, to go in another country and worship. Obviously, perhaps we could say that if she didn't motivate him, that at least she encouraged him to do that. It was not without her blessing that he did that as well. So So the first thing we see about her is that she saw the importance of worship. And remember, her son, as the king, was seen holy. Some people in that day and age, I'm sure, regarded him as a deity or something. And she was like, no, he's my son. But anyway, she also encouraged the eunuch to go and find God. She encouraged worship. She encouraged that spiritual growth that was necessary. Today, of course, we honor our mothers. We also honor all women and all the ways in which women help us and motivate us and encourage us and mother us in ways through the work that women do. And I believe that one way in which women do that is through encouraging and motivating and pushing us sometimes to worship, to be involved with worship, and the importance of it and this central part of it that it plays in the life of every family, and how vitally important that is as we strive to be Christians in a world that is, in many ways, post-Christian. The work of the women is very important. Today we have the listing of moms that are there in the bulletin insert that we have there. The United Methodist Women provide that, and it's a way to honor and remember women in our church and the mothers in our church. And so it's a way to reflect upon all that they have accomplished, all that they have done, all that they are still doing in the life and the functioning of the church as well. And certainly, we can all understand that just like the Candace, that they motivate us to worship. They make sure worship is there, make sure that worship is a vital part of our lives, growing up and into adulthood and everything else, that it becomes who we are because we gather to praise God and to give glory to God as well. But she also obviously encouraged the eunuch to be involved with the word, because the eunuch was returning. He was leaving. He'd been there at worship. And he was returning, and he was reading the word. Now you can say, well, he was doing it for his own edification. True, but probably also, I'm just implying this, probably also he knew the Candace would be questioning him when he got back. Tell me about this. Tell me what you learned. Tell me what benefit you got. Tell me about this whole situation. And so as he was writing his chariot, I can't imagine a weirder way to try to read something, but as he was writing his chariot, he was reading. So it sort of shows the urgency that he had to read, because he knew the Candace would want him to have been reading the word, understanding it, so that she could understand it as well, so that he would bring back a report of everything. And as a eunuch, he was not even allowed to fully participate in the worship. He could be there, but he was not. He was sort of in the outer courtyards because he was a eunuch. But he still got a copy of Isaiah, and he was reading that. And the Spirit of God knew indeed that this was important, that this was vital, and that Philip needed to be there to instruct him about the word, so that the good news then could go into another nation, another group of people, through the work of the eunuch, but also through the work and motivation of the Candace. Tell me about the word. When you get back, I want to know the word. I want to know that you understand the word. I want to understand that it is now part of who you are, so that it can be a part of who we are as well. I think our women also encourage us to do that as well. Our women encourage us to make sure that we're in the Word, not just saying, yes, I believe in God, that's well, fine, and good. I'm going to live my life and do all that, but that the Word is important. Understanding the Word, growing in the Word is important as well. And just like the Candace, the power that tells others, this is how you are to function. This is how, indeed, you are to be as a Christian. This is how you are to be someone who is faithful to this understanding of who God is and who Jesus Christ is in the world. And so the Spirit made sure that the eunuch could have his mission accomplished when he got back, that he had an understanding of it, even an understanding of what it was to be baptized and become a Christian, bringing that faith into the world. But also, he had work to accomplish. And I think the Candace was probably a reasonable, rational sort of ruler, and she knew that she wasn't just wasting her time sending up there to get this information to become a part of the word and then bring that back. I think she wanted to see what could be accomplished. Maybe she wanted to bring a new spirituality, a new understanding of who God is in her country as well. And so he had work to be accomplished. And he was motivated by it through the fact that not only did he have Philip there to teach him about this, and also that he understood the word and Philip was there, but then also, just icing on the cake, a miracle occurred because Philip was snatched away and taken somewhere else. And so the eunuch could return to the Candace and say, not only did I worship, and not only did I receive the word, and not only did I read it, not only did someone come to me miraculously and define the word and help me understand it, and not only was I baptized, but also I was a witness to a miraculous event. The person who came and spoke to me was suddenly taken away. And so then he was highly motivated to do the work, highly motivated to bring the good news. And it all goes back in part to the Candace. It goes back to the power and the Spirit of God, our resurrected Savior. But that was through the Candace that this was possible. Through the Candace that the Spirit of God was made real. Tradition holds it that this eunuch established Christian churches in Ethiopia, the first churches that were there, that he established them, and he was very, very faithful in his work in doing that. Obviously, he had the blessings of the Candace. He couldn't have done anything without her blessings, without her motivation, without her encouragement, without her funds to be able to do that as well. And so the work was very important. The word, worship, work, just a small way in which women make a difference in our world. Even way back then when women were not viewed as important, here was this Candace, the Queen Mother, accomplishing, bringing Christianity into her country in a very powerful and real way. And yet she's just sort of behind the scenes, even though she is powerful in everything that she does and everything that she's able to accomplish through the eunuch and through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. I would like all of our women to stand, if you would. Notice I said women. Ladies, we appreciate you and we honor you. We honor those who are mothers this day, but we honor and appreciate all of our women and all the work that you do, because you are called upon to be our motivation in many different ways, not just our support, but also our leaders. And we're very, very appreciative of that. At this time, I would like to pray a prayer asking for God's blessings upon each and every one of you. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we come to you in thanks. We thank you for the Candace and the work that she was able to accomplish, the way in which she did that through the eunuch, and the fact that Christianity was brought into her country. We appreciate what you did through her, and we know indeed that all these women who are standing here are motivated by the same Spirit, by your presence, which is never changing and always powerful. And we know indeed that you have worked in the lives of these women as well, and that you will continue to do just the same. Thank you for the ways in which they present Christ into the world. Thank you for their spirituality and their Christian leadership, and the model and example of their lives as well. We pray indeed that your blessings would be upon all the women of Bethesda, that you would bless them, walk beside them, strengthen them, and as you call upon them to perform tasks and service to you, would you multiply those tasks through their faithfulness so that in every way your name may be glorified. All these things we pray in Christ's most holy name. Amen.